Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Roto Experts Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Matic. You can find me on Twitter at Davis Matic. In this episode of the podcast, we are going to be digging into the Detroit Lions from a fantasy football perspective. Of course, I would like to ask you to check out rotoexperts.com and our NFL 365 package, where we have the best expert projections, rankings, customizable cheat sheets, premium content, the ultimate guide to zero RB drafting, the ultimate guide to best ball drafting, and much more premium content to help you win your fantasy football league in 2019. Also, NFL 365 subscribers get a discount on Daily Roto's NFL Daily Fantasy Sports Package, making it an even better deal, and you can get 10% off of the NFL 365 package using the promo code MATTEK, M-A-T-T-E-K. Now, let's dig into the Detroit Lions from a fantasy football perspective. Much like the last episode of the show that we did, the Denver Broncos, I do not have a ton of interest in Matthew Stafford from a fantasy football perspective, simply because I think he has a pretty viable floor, but I really do not think that he has a ceiling compared to a lot of the other quarterbacks going around him. I would even say that someone like Andy Dalton has a higher season-long ceiling than him. I would say Marcus Mariota, if he starts running, probably has a better ceiling than Matt Stafford. So Matt Stafford's YPA has been below 6.8 and 7.9 for the last, for really his since 2011. But his pass attempts have decreased each of the last 4 years: 592, 594, 565, 555. So what's happened over the last 4 years is the Detroit Lions have somehow decided that they want to be like a run first team. They want to ground and pound, and no one can really explain why this is happening. But the organization hired Matt Patricia, a defensive coach away from the New England Patriots. They had Jim Bob Cooter as their offensive coordinator last year. That really did not work out. So they hired Daryl Bevel as their offensive coordinator this year. I don't actually think that Daryl Bevel is, I don't think that he's like some big upgrade on Jim Bob Cooter. One of the really bad things about Jim Bob Cooter's passing game was that it was just all so flat. The team very rarely took shots. They had a lot of really boring route concepts, and it was big on throwing into the flat to Theo Riddick, big in throwing into the flat to Eric Ebron, to Kenny Golladay, to Marvin Jones. There were a lot of short throws, and so it just led to a lot of unproductive, a lot of uncreative offense. So looking at Daryl Bevel, you'd look at his offensive coordinator page and you'd go, oh man, this guy that led the offense in points twice was fifth in points another time. Like, you would say this is a good offensive coordinator, and then you'd go look and then you'd say, actually, they ran the ball too much, and the reason that they gained so many yards and scored so many points was that they had prime Russell Wilson. And if you have prime Russell Wilson, a lot of things are just going to kind of work out. I do not think that Matt Stafford is prime Russell Wilson. So back-end quarterback two for fantasy is what Stafford is. You know, if you got him in the Scott Fishbowl really late, you probably feel good. If you're in like a super flex league and he's your third guy, you probably feel good. But a 12-team league, which is what I assume most of you who are listening to this are playing in, Matt Stafford should not really be owned. He would be like a good waiver wire guy. You know, maybe it turns out that Kenny Golladay is just so good and they're throwing the ball down the field more, and maybe they don't really miss Golden Tate and Marvin Jones is healthy and Danny Amendola is a reliable slot wide receiver. All of this is a possibility. I would not say that it is something that I am expecting. So Stafford is just sort of, he just gets a whatever. He gets a shrug from me. I don't think he makes the team meaningfully worse. Like, I don't think Stafford's horrible, but I don't think that he's the sort of guy that we're chasing in fantasy at all. I think what he did last year is sort of an accurate reflection of what he has become at this point in his career. They went 6-10. He completed 66% of his passes for 3,777 yards, 21 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions. That's just a very Matt Stafford stat line, and I would not be shocked to see that run back in 2019. The backup quarterback situation, Tom Savage and David Fales, no real development interest in either one of these guys. I actually kind of liked David Fales coming out of college. I thought that he was an interesting guy, but basically has been horrible every time we've seen him in the preseason and kind of in mop-up duty. And we all know Tom Savage is, you know, he's just not a good NFL quarterback. Moving on to the running back situation, the Detroit Lions actually made an interesting move earlier this week with the release of Theo Riddick, who has been rumored to join both the Saints and the Broncos. So their running back room now is led by Kerryon Johnson, backed up by CJ Anderson, Zach Zenner, and Ty Johnson, a really interesting player, I believe out of the University of Maryland. Yeah, he is 5'10", 212 pounds, and was selected with the number 186th overall pick. A really interesting guy, and we'll talk more about him in a little bit later, because I think that Theo Riddick being gone is pretty good news for Ty Johnson. So the release of Theo Riddick was really good news for Kerryon Johnson. I went back into our projections. I definitely bumped up his target share. I bumped up his market share of rush attempts just a little bit. The chances that Kerryon Johnson ends the 2019 season as a workhorse running back are now pretty good. So, like, if you just went and looked at fantasy football ADP for running backs in 2019, you'd go, okay, there's the five running backs that we know who are very clearly workhorses. And you'd say, okay, Le'Veon probably is. Connor might be in a little bit of split, but he probably is. Mixon, Gurley is not going to be a workhorse back, it seems. They've already talked about the veteran plan. Dalvin Cook seems like he will be. Damien Williams seems like he will be, but he's injured right now. Nick Chubb, we're a little unsure. I think Jones will definitely be in a split, but then you get to a range of like, oh, I'd rather have Kerryon Johnson than Leonard Fournette. Probably rather have Kerryon Johnson than Marlon Mack just based on touches. Probably rather have Kerryon Johnson than Devonta Freeman or Derrick Henry or David Montgomery or Phillip Lindsay. So, like, I think we're getting into a range where if you're sitting at the 211 and you take Kerryon Johnson, I don't think you're a donk. I probably would not take him that early because my overall expectations for the Detroit Lions offense are not great. And obviously the biggest thing that's going to impact a running back is going to be team performance. So if the team is not consistently gaining a bunch of yards, not consistently gaining first downs, it's going to be a rough go for the running back. However, just the fact that Kerryon is going to probably be in there in some games that are not particularly close, you know, maybe they're down 14 points and he's still in there getting receptions. And it's not like Kerryon didn't have receiving work last year. He had 39 targets and 32 receptions, which was good for fifth best on the team in terms of receptions. So, like, it's definitely something to note. Like, it's important to note that actually, you know what? I would say the market is probably a little bit low on Kerryon. Like, Kerryon is definitely a better pick than Leonard Fournette. And if the Lions are even able to be baseline competent, I think he's probably pretty similar to Marlon Mack and Aaron Jones. Mack and Jones have the ceiling way over him because they have the potential to play in good offenses. But, you know, and Kerryon is not going to play in a good offense. But I'm definitely more interested in drafting Kerryon now than I was before Theo Riddick was cut. Looking at the other running backs they have here, CJ Anderson to me now is now a legitimate zero RB candidate. Before, I kind of was not that interested because, you know, I just thought Theo Riddick would play a little bit more. I thought Zenner would play a little bit more. But it seems pretty clearly that CJ Anderson will be like the handcuff. And he might even, you know what, if we're talking about ways that Kerryon might not get there, CJ Anderson could definitely be like that very annoying goal line back, vulture back. Actually, that's like sort of like his perfect role in the NFL anyways. So it would not be particularly surprising to me to see him do that. Yeah, if you just look at CJ Anderson's career, he's had 22 touchdowns on only 760 rushes while not averaging, you know, a great number of yards per carry. So I could definitely see him being the goal line back over Kerryon just for whatever reason. You know, not I'm not basing this off of any reports or anything. I'm just saying this is how NFL teams often make decisions. If you're looking of possible ways, looking at reasons that your pick is not going to get there, they're not going to hit their upper percentile outcome, one of them would be that that C.J. Anderson would take away from the upside of Kerryon Johnson. Actually, kind of the same way that LeGarrette Blount did. You know, LeGarrette Blount would just get all of the short touchdowns, and Kerryon Johnson would be left out in the cold. So that, there was a pretty obvious parallel with this team and with this coaching staff, at least the head coach, but not offensive coordinator. Zach Zenner, you know, routine champion of team preseason. There actually could be a reason that he gets on the field this year, which is that maybe C.J. Anderson is not the guy who just smashed all over the playoffs last year, and maybe he just is not super good, especially outside of a Los Angeles Rams system that makes it easier for running backs to be really good. I would definitely say that Zenner is better than C.J. Anderson and you know, still is a little bit more intriguing. He would be a guy I would probably in dynasty leagues, if he was not on a roster, I'd be putting out like $2 bids, you know, of $1,000 a fab on Zach Zenner right now, just because there's a decent chance he gets on the field this year in like some sort of meaningful way. Finally, in the running back room, Ty Johnson out of Maryland. He had a 9.1 yards per carry at one point in his career at Maryland, but did suffer some injuries and also was sent to the bench for someone named Anthony McFarland while he was there. So, overall, talking about prospects, guys who get sent to the bench for younger players, that's a really bad sign. That's basically a big red alert. However, he did run a 4.45 40 and did finish college with 7 yards per carry. I would say just the fact that he did get sent to the bench at like a smaller school like Maryland, probably not great, but the testing is pretty good. The yards per carry in college is pretty good. He's like an interesting size, right? 5'10", 212 with a little bit of speed. That's interesting, because almost sort of ideal running back size. So someone that I would monitor, but like if you were asking me to choose between Ty Johnson and Zach Zenner for fantasy points over the next 2 years, I would still probably take Zenner because he has more familiarity with the team. The team chose to bring him back even though they didn't have to, and I just have less concerns with Zenner's ability at an NFL level because I've already seen him perform admirably at the NFL level. Moving to the wide receiver room, the outside wide receivers are Marvin Jones and Kenny Galladay, with Danny Amendola in the slot. I actually think that Jermaine Kearse could maybe win that slot job over Danny Amendola. I know that the Lions actually paid Danny Amendola like real money, 1 year, $4.5 million. That is not bench warmer money, as they might say. And Jermaine Kearse is making significantly less than that, a 1 year, $1.3 million deal. Also rotational wide receivers, Brandon Powell, Travis Fulgham, Tommy Lee Lewis, Andy Jones. Those are all the guys who I expect to make like legitimate runs at making the roster. I don't think that Jonathan Duhart, Brandon Riley, Tom Kennedy, I don't think that these guys are very likely to make it onto the Lions final roster. But they generally do have to keep a bunch of wide receivers because it seems like their wide receivers always get hurt. So the only Detroit Lions wide receiver who I have drafted in all of my drafts, all my draft best balls, all my mock drafts, all the FFPC, everything, literally only Kenny Galladay. I'm not interested in Marvin Jones. I'm not interested in Danny Amendola. I'm not interested in Jermaine Kearse. Not interested in Tommy Lee Lewis. None of these guys. I think Detroit is going to play so slow. I think they are going to run so often. I think they are going to be so ineffective that the only one of these guys who is any good is going to be Kenny Galladay. So he had 119 targets last year in 15 games. But remember, Golden Tate played in, I believe, 7 of those games. Yeah, 7 of those games. And he had 5 receiving touchdowns and 1,063 yards. I would take the over on all of those numbers. Over 119 targets, over 1,063 yards, over 70 receptions, over 5 touchdowns. So I just think that Galladay is just sort of in that range where bad team, good wide receiver, clear number one target. I don't think that Marvin Jones, and I believe in his age 30 season, is going to be age 29 season for Marvin Jones. I don't believe that he is going to just sort of demand that previous volume that he had, especially because with Golden Tate and Marvin Jones. One of them was interior, one of them was exterior. Now they both are, now they're both boundary receivers. Marvin Jones's role is going to be pretty diminished, I think. I think Danny Amendola or Jermaine Kearse or kind of whoever wins that slot job could have a decent size role. But one of the big things is that once TJ Hawkinson has figured things out, I think TJ Hawkinson's really going to be the guy getting most of the interior work. And that, you know, I don't know if that will translate to being meaningful for fantasy, but I definitely think that would be the team's plan. So I don't really have much to say about Marvin Jones or Danny Amendola. I don't think these guys, Marvin Jones is ADP. Just why would you take Marvin Jones over someone with like actual upside? Like, why would you take Marvin Jones over Kenny Stills, who like could be a wide receiver one for his team? Why would you take Marvin Jones over Traquan Smith? You're not going to win your league with Marvin Jones. I feel pretty confident about that. Moving to the tight end room, TJ Hawkinson, Jesse James, Logan Thomas seem like the three guys who are going to make the roster. Jesse James probably could be fantasy viable if Hawkinson misses any time. Logan Thomas is just sort of this like oddity, the former college quarterback turned tight end. Always love those guys. Those are guys that I always want to get on my roster in Madden Ultimate Team, but not super interested in rostering them in fantasy football. Hawkinson, it's just like, yeah, I think he's really good. In dynasty leagues, I would definitely try and trade for him. I would definitely try and draft him in my rookie drafts. I think he's phenomenal. But the track record of rookie tight ends, not great. The track record of rookie tight ends in slow offenses that are going to be ground and pound heavy and are not going to score very many points, that it's worse, right? So Hawkinson is an ADP that just is not great to me. Like, I would never take TJ Hawkinson over Jack Doyle. And I know that makes me sound like a boring guy who just doesn't care about fun, because TJ Hawkinson is way more fun than Jack Doyle. But there was almost no way outside of injury that TJ Hawkinson scores more fantasy points this year than someone like Jack Doyle or Delanie Walker or Darren Waller or whoever. So that is going to do it for us here on our Detroit Lions fantasy football team preview. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Please, please, please make sure to check out rotoexperts.com and our NFL 365 package. For $39.99, you get our customizable cheat sheets, our up-to-date projections, rankings, dynasty rankings, all of our expert guides, you know, our ultimate guides to winning draft best ball leagues, all sorts of cool stuff, all sorts of premium content. I really think that if you're liking these podcasts, you will really enjoy the website as well.